I'm reading the Amplified version of this particular scripture, and it says, but grow spiritually mature in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. You all can have a seat if you are able to. So on today, we're going to be talking about just a few things. We're going to be talking about God's grace, his knowledge, and sanctification. And so first, I want to define what grace is. And grace is God's unmerited or unearned favor and his love, God's love for us. So it's something that we don't deserve. It's something that we can't earn. So it's something that we can't live, we can't strive to get more of. So God's grace is unmerited, it's unearned. I like this definition of it. It says the influence or the spirit of God operating in humans to regenerate and strengthen us or strengthen them. So that is what grace is. And then the knowledge is the body of truth or fact that's accumulated over the course of time. So we develop knowledge as we go along over the course of time. And then sanctification means to cleanse from corruption. It means to purify us from our sins, to make holy, to detach from the affection of the world and the defilement of the world. And it means to attach to the existent supreme love of our God. Amen. So just a little bit of background about this particular passage. So in 2 Peter, he is writing his second letter to the early believers scattered throughout Asia Minor. The purpose of the letter was to encourage the believers to combat false teaching that were caused immorality to spread throughout that area. So he encourages the reader. So when we read this passage, he's encouraging us to never stop growing in our knowledge of who Christ Jesus is, so that we can identify false teachers and so that we can expect the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we know that as we're reading through the Bible, if we read the gospel, we know that Peter is no stranger to growing in God's grace and in God's knowledge. So we see how Peter, he was called as a fisherman. He was out fishing. Jesus called him. He walked closely with Jesus. So he praised. He was praised for proclaiming that Jesus was the Son of God. And the Lord praised him. The Lord gave him honor because the Lord told him that his church would be built on that truth, that Jesus was the Son of God. We see that in the, throughout all the Gospels, we see that Peter was zealous. So when Jesus was going, when they were coming to capture Jesus, he was zealous. So he cut the ear off of the soldier. And when Jesus, he rebuked him for doing that. We also see that when Jesus was being crucified, he denied Jesus three times, which God had already reminded him that he would do that before the cock even crowed. We see how his faith is restored by Christ, and he takes on, after his faith is restored, he enthusiastically began to run for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He preached a very powerful message in the book of Acts. So we see here that Peter is no stranger to growing in the grace and in the knowledge of God. So as we, when we first are drawn to Christ, when the Holy Spirit is drawing us to Christ, we are spiritual infants, right? So we're young in the faith. We're spiritual infants. We can't deal with the meat or the deep things of the word. We are encouraged in 1 Peter 2 and 2. We are encouraged to be like newborn babies, always thirsting for the pure spiritual milk, so that by drinking it, we may grow up and be saved. This particular scripture reminded me of Ellie, because when I had Ellie, she wasn't mature enough. Her digestive system was not mature enough yet to take on solid food, but she could really take a lot of milk. And now she can eat like three men. So now that she's more mature, she's eating heavier, she's eating more. And so that is what this is all about. We want to grow in the knowledge of God, of who Christ Jesus is. So as spiritual infants, we may not have the knowledge and the understanding at first. So And when we come to Christ, we give our lives to Christ. At this point, sanctification begins. We are positionally sanctified by Christ, which means that we are saved from the penalty of sin. We're justified. So Christ now looks at us. Christ now, his blood covers us. So God no longer looks at us through a lens of sin. He looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's positional sanctification. Some of the decisions that we may make still may not be as wise as they should be, because we are still unwise. We are still a little bit weak to sin, because though we are saved, our faith and our understanding of who Christ really is has not developed all the way. We're still developing. And as we partake of this pure meat of the word, we begin to grow in our knowledge of who Christ really is and the cost that he paid for our salvation. This growth enables us to digest heavier work. So now we can digest the meat of the word. We're no longer on meat. We're no longer on milk, as we're growing in Christ. We can digest the deeper things of the word. So we spend more time in prayer. We spend more time in worship. And we desire to begin to change more for living what God desires us to live, how God desires us to live, versus how we want to live. So in the beginning, we are still living the way we want to live. Even though we may be saved, we still fall to sin. We fall victim to sin because we don't have the full and complete knowledge of him as of it. So we begin to desire to live in obedience to God, and God, the obedience that God requires. And what he requires is for us to live holy. So we begin to live more holy. Titus 2:11-12 says, "For God has revealed his grace for the salvation of all people, and that grace instructs us to give up ungodly living and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this world." So we go from living the way we want to live, doing what we desire to do, to giving up those things and passions of ungodly things, to having a desire for those godly things. So here we see this is progressive sanctification. So each and every day, as we are crucifying our flesh, God is sanctifying us. He's saving us, and he's delivering us from the power of sin. So progressive sanctification delivers us from the power of sin. So the penalty of sin, when we come to Christ, God no longer looks at us through a lens of sin, but he looks at us through Jesus Christ. And now, as we are growing, as God is sanctifying us, we are being saved from the power of sin. Our knowledge in him is still growing, and we are becoming more spiritually mature. We can handle more meat of his word. Through our obedience, we develop strength. So we begin to develop the strength to resist sin. So now that we're growing, now that we're growing in his word, we have knowledge of who God is. We have strength. We have strength, and we can resist sin. And now we can also discern good versus evil. And so we no longer do the things that lead us into sin. We no longer do the things that lead us into sin. As God is continuing to sanctify us, he is continuing to strengthen us. And this strength helps with our stability. So now we are more stable in God and in his word, meaning that we are not easily swayed. We're not easily swayed. So we have, when we face the trials and tribulations, they don't make us fall apart. We are strong in him. We can stand up strong in him. They no longer make us fall apart. So we're strengthened. Those tribulations, we can face them with joy and with endurance and with Christ-like character. So as God is sanctifying us, he's strengthening us. He's strengthening us. He's saving us. He's helping us resist sin. He's strengthening us and making our character more like him. As God continues to sanctify us, we begin to see more fruit, more spiritual fruit. And so, and I'm not sure where I heard this at. I believe my husband stated it one time when we was talking, we were just having a conversation, and he said, "The apples that I grow are not for me to eat." Meaning they're for other people to eat. So as we're developing the fruits of the Spirit is blessing and helping other people grow as well. So those fruit of the Spirit, you can read that in Galatians chapter 5. And so as those fruits begin to grow, it's visible and it draws others to Christ. So people begin to see, like, whatever you're developing, I want that. So that draws people to Christ. And ultimately, the goal, the ultimate goal of the sanctification is that we may walk in complete unity with Christ to show the world Christ's love for us through God sending his son Jesus. That is the ultimate goal. So the ultimate goal, John 17:22-23, he said that I have given them glory that you gave me that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. So the ultimate goal in our sanctification is to draw people to Christ. It's to show people the love of God and show people how God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And just to be honest, as I was going through this particular lesson, this was challenging for me. It was very challenging for me. Because as I was reading scripture, as I was going through the word, and as I was reading different things, I was like, oh, Lord, I have not grown as much as I could have. Amen. I have not grown as much as I could have. So I see some things that I'm strong in. Amen. So I'm strong at encouraging my brothers. I'm strong at encouraging my brothers. I'm strong at bringing them back in. I'm strong at doing that. I'm strong at, you know, being a listening ear. I'm strong in certain areas. But there are some areas where I still need to be mature. Just being honest, I still need to be mature in those areas. Particularly when it comes down to persecution, when it comes down to testing and trials, my faith is easily swayed. And so that is an area that I need God to mature me in. And I said that this was challenging to me, because as I read Second Peter, the first chapter, starting at the third verse, and I'm not going to read it all, but it talks about how the Holy Spirit, God, has given us every single thing that we need to be effective as Christians. And it tells us in verse 5 that we can add goodness to our faith. And to our goodness, we need to add knowledge. And to our knowledge, we need to add self-control. And to self-control, we need to add godliness. And to the godliness, we need to add Christian affection. And to Christian affection, we need to add love. And then it goes on to say that if you have these qualities, that you will not be ineffective. That you can live and you can walk effectively. And so the goal of sanctification, the goal of God's grace, the goal of building the knowledge in Christ Jesus is so that we can be effective in our walk. We can be effective. And there have been seasons in my life where, in my walk, where I was effective, and there have been seasons in my walk where I was not so effective. And so I encourage all of us on today that if you feel ineffective at any time, to go back to Peter, 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 11, because it tells you what to add. It tells you to add these things on. So if we feel like we're being ineffective, we need to go back and do a heart check. And that's what this word did for me. I had to do a heart check to see, like, okay, I need to go back. I need to add. I need to develop. I need to have the Holy Spirit strengthen me, because God's word said that he's giving us every single thing that we need. He's giving it to us already. So if he's already given it to me, if he's already given me those things, then why is it that I go through seasons where I'm not walking in joy? So why is it that I go through seasons where my faith is swayed? Why is it that I'm not strong in certain seasons and in other seasons I am strong? So need to go back and do a heart check. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.